Welcome back, or if it's your first time, welcome to this letter from the back. This is my second letter from the back, and it's dated the 10th of July 2020, Friday, 10th of July. If you're not familiar with the letter from the back, my name is Ian Jones. I am a lawyer, at least that's what my passport says, and this is my review of the week dealing with transport and law, with a side order of heritage and a sprinkling of what's been going on the telly. As I look back on the week and ease you back into the weekend, and I'll try and knock off the difficult bits and I'll try and emphasise and elaborate the good points. But talking about watching the telly, it was watching the telly in the 1970s that made me want to become a lawyer. I used to watch a programme called Petrocelli, which was based upon a lawyer called Tony Petrocelli. And those of you from Backhouse Jones will have seen the picture of Tony Petrocelli on my office door. I always admired Tony Petrocelli because he was independent. He had his own law firm. He had a beautiful wife. And furthermore, he looked rather like my dad. Now, Tony Petrocelli was a brilliant lawyer. I wouldn't take any credit like that myself, of course, but I worked with brilliant lawyers. And Tony lived in a caravan. At the end of the programme, he would build his own house, brick by brick, in San Remo. San Remo being to the USA, probably what Clitheroe is to the UK. But he was building this brick by brick, and the house never seemed to get finished. Indeed, Terry Wogan on his radio show would often ask, will Petrocelli ever finish that house? But have you been watching telly during lockdown? I watched Ozark, which was particularly dark but very interesting. But looking back now over lockdown, which happened, 3 months ago, and I started my original letter from the back, which was a written email to my staff, and I started it by quoting Seamus Heaney, the Irish poet. And Seamus Heaney once said, if we can winter this out, we can summer anywhere. And I thought it was a brilliant quote then, particularly as it was winter bordering on spring when we started this. And it's summer now, apparently. Now, there's a rumour that it's going to be scurrilously sunny this weekend and the heat's back on. And the pubs are going to be open. And the taverns, therefore, are going to be full of gadabouts making merry. Although I will simply press my face against the window like an urchin at a confectioner's, because I am not tempted by the sweetmeats within. A dram in exchange for the pox is an ill bargain indeed. That's not actually me speaking. That's me quoting Samuel Pepys, who wrote in his diary about the pox in 1665 during the Great Plague. And essentially what that tells us is that nothing's new. We've been here before and the human race has got through it. But can you imagine if social media and Instagram and Twitter were in existence in 1665? We'd be able to see what was happening during the Great Plague, and that might alter our view of history. And I have no idea if somebody were watching or listening to this letter from the back in 2065. If you are, God help you. But in terms of the past week, we've not had any sunshine whatsoever. So this is what I've been doing whilst working from home in between my emails and Zoom meetings and team meetings. I've been stood at the window on the inside and I've put my non-tea drinking hand on my hip and a sip from the mug. And then I'll mutter to nobody or the children in particular and just say, look at that rain. It's really coming down now, or the garden needs it, or thank goodness we brought the cushions in. But then ordinarily, I would then go and eat all of the biscuits. But this week, I've been on a biscuit-free zone. I've not had a biscuit now for 5 days. I'm quite proud of myself, but there we are, small things. So, Samuel Pepys was based in London, and I've been to London twice this week, once virtually, but also physically. Andrew and I went down to London in his car to clear the London flat. So we've emptied the Backhouse Jones London flat. Well, not only we emptied the London flat, we had a drive through London, which was empty itself. It was eerie. There were no tourists. There were no coaches parked on Park Lane. And to be honest, I only saw one coach that I can recall during the trip there and back, and that was on the way back home. So it was rather sad to see no coaches on the road, and again, limited lorries as well. So what is funny is that we had a client in the office at Backhouse Jones this week, and there was only one boardroom available. So as the client came in, he was sat in a boardroom next to an ironing board, a microwave oven, and a collection of shampoos and conditioners, primarily brought back from the flat. What he must make of Backhouse Jones, I've no idea. So that was my physical journey to London, and I realised how much London has changed just looking around, but also how much I've had to change during lockdown, because I, on my Twitter feed, describe myself as a flâneur. And a flâneur is a French word, and it literally means someone who walks around, not doing anything in particular, but watching people and society. And I realised that I've not been a flâneur for about 3 weeks now. So, whilst I was there on Monday with Andrew, I was also back in London on Wednesday, and I was back there for a virtual CPT meeting. And so last week I focused on haulage, but this week I've been focusing on buses. And my business life, dealing with the CPT council meeting, has overlapped with my home life, because my youngest daughter has been doing a research project on Rosa Parks and the lady who led the 1955 American boycott of the buses in Alabama. And so she had to do a report on Rosa Parks. I'm pretty sure that she did cover all the basics, which is the segregated seating, and it was the first large-scale demonstration in the United States. And she covered all the relevant stuff about how Rosa Parks refused to yield her seat to a white man and how this inspired Martin Luther King. But I'm pretty sure that my daughter was the only one who knew that the bus was owned by the General Motors Old Look Bus Company called Montgomery City Lines, originally started by the Fitzgerald brothers, and the bus was actually number 2857, and the bus is now preserved in the Henry J. Ford Museum. But that's just my children being brought up dealing with both haulage and coach and bus companies. It's in their blood as well as mine, and they will be going to the coach honk for coaches event next Tuesday in Blackpool. So if you're listening to this and you are a coach operator, come along to the honk for coaches event in Blackpool, or at least give it your support on social media. And I have been looking back over this week, and it caused me to look at the Rosa Parks project that my daughter did. Caused me to look at the bus industry, and the first bus driver who was a lady in Great Britain started in 1974, and her name was Jill Viner. And so she was aged just 22 and had wanted to be a bus driver since the age of 8. And she literally became a bus driver in 1974 and worked for 20 years at the Norbiton Garage in London. And in the 1950s and 60s, there were many Afro-Caribbean ladies who worked on the buses, such as Agatha Claudette Hart, who was one of the first bus conductors. And she worked for London Transport for many years. And it shows you how progressive London Transport was that in 1968, when they had 73,000 employees, 9,000 of those were Afro-Caribbean. So I think that shows the bus industry in a very good light. And it dawned on me as I was working with my team this week that we have some excellent female lawyers working at Backhouse Jones. And I've worked this week with Alexa, who's kept the insurance litigation department going throughout lockdown, together with Lisa and Laura. And they've done a brilliant job in working from home in delivering the service to our insurer clients, our self-insured insurer clients. And then I've worked with Libby on a litigation case, and her ability always outshines mine. Heather was brilliant advising a client on a furloughing problem this week. Laura Hadzig combines excellent business development skills together with her regulatory skills. And just today, she's on a CPT Zoom meeting providing advice on that. I've worked with Julia and Chloe and Joe and Michelle in the business development department. And then I've been back into the office and I've seen Jane, who's seen everything in the past 20 years at Backhouse Jones, and Joe and Yvonne and Devon and Sarah. And they've been keeping the home fires burning, if you like, at Backhouse Jones during lockdown. And a special shout out here to Anita, Charlotte and Shannon, who've kept the accounts department of Backhouse Jones on track all the way through lockdown. And I'm humbled by what our team have done. But if you're listening to this and you're one of the Backhouse Jones team and you're on furlough and you're keen to come back, I know why. Because offices are important. And I'll tell you why I think that offices are important. I went on Wednesday into Manchester to get my hair cut the first time since February, and it was a delight, actually, to have my hair cut. It was getting slightly long, even by my standards. And I walked past the office that I met James Backhouse in 1992, when we were young lawyers at Vawdrey, Osborne & Mellor, number 13 Police Street, in Manchester. So I saw the office and it brought back sort of happy memories of when we met. And the reality is offices, the physical office is important. And whilst we've given up our London flat, we're not giving up our London office, and we are certainly not giving up our Clitheroe office. And during lockdown, I'm running out of things to actually tidy up. I've been Marie Kondoing my house and clearing out the clutter. And in doing so, I found a photograph taken in 2002. And in that photograph, you've got the original directors of Backhouse Jones, James, Jonathan, Andrew, and myself. And I looked at this photograph and it dawned on me that the secret of success is to start before you're actually ready. Because we look extremely young, we look extremely, we don't look very tired, to be honest, because it's pre-children, apart from Jonathan, who does look tired because he did have children. But the rest of us look pretty young. Young Turks about to start off. And indeed, at that time, our turnover of the practice was probably about 1/15th of what it is today. So I was quite proud looking at this photograph and looking back to 2002 to chart where we started and the recruitment that we've made. And we've recruited some brilliant people over the course of the past 20 years, 18 years since the photograph was taken. And it dawned on me that great Teams calls and Zoom calls, they're absolutely fabulous. But the reality is you could not build a firm by Zoom. You can manage a firm by Zoom. You can manage it by Teams during lockdown, but you cannot build a firm by Zoom because we need an office, because we need to interact. And it dawned on me that offices, they started as extensions to royal courts many years ago, probably in medieval times, and they were decorated as such. And then during the Industrial Revolution, they became less elaborate and more efficient. But the reality is it's a physical place because people are loyal to a place. And so an office, which is an expensive commitment, certainly to the directors of Backhouse Jones, but you need somewhere where people can meet. And I've been in the office and I look forward to welcoming you all back to the office because there's a reason why Homo sapiens took over from Neanderthals. Neanderthals had exactly the same size brain as Homo sapiens, but Homo sapiens could win over Neanderthals because of our ability to cooperate. We created community. And I look forward to welcoming the team back to the office because that is when we'll know that we're back on track and everything is back to normal because we are back in the office. And it dawned on me, I want to finish, if I may, with a Seamus Heaney quote. And looking at that photograph dawned on me that Seamus Heaney also said, "The way we are living, timorous or bold, will have been our life." And so we need to be bold as we get back to the office. I'm hoping that you from Backhouse Jones are well, your family is safe. If you're on furlough, you're looking forward to coming back. And the reality is, I hope I will be back next week. I'll be back. Now, that's a phrase. I don't think it's been used before, and I'm going to start using it. So this is me, Ian Jones, signing off, and I'll be back. Have a good weekend.